talk about Theodore McCarrick, the ex-Cardinal McCarrick, who had served as the Cardinal of Washington, D.C. He was the kingmaker. He was the leader of the American church. But he had a lot of skeletons in his closet. He was a child molester. He abused seminarians. He abused his power. He abused wealth and money. And he became the greatest scandal in American Catholic history. He truly is a Judas priest, a Judas bishop. And we've been waiting. We've been promised by the Pope and by the American bishops that we'll get the report. We'll get the truth. How did this man work his way up to the highest post in the American Catholic Church? How did that happen? He obviously did not do that alone. It would take friends, co-workers in Rome to make that happen, and it would take friends here in the United States for that to happen. So the American people and Catholics worldwide want answers. How is it that McCarrick got to this position? And then what did he do in that position to bring in other corrupt leaders? I'm going to talk about how the East Coast of America, the Central through Chicago, and the West Coast were controlled by three crony cardinals who were corrupt and perverted. I'm going to try to put together a timeline of McCarrick for you tonight. And I'm going to say, if we can't get our Pope and our bishops to do the right thing and tell us what happened so this never happens again, we need some clarity on this. We need transparency. Then maybe it's time to just ask President Trump, hey, this is not just a scandal. We have criminal activity. When I did the first interview of James Grine. He was the child victim. He was molested many times by Cardinal McCarrick back when he was Father McCarrick. And he talks about the things they were doing across state lines. This is a interstate, maybe even, as we might see today, an international crime circuit. In other words, what we've seen with the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, something like that was happening in the Catholic Church. Some kind of network of criminal sexual activity was happening in the Catholic Church under the leadership of Theodore McCarrick. So we're going to explore that tonight. And of course, this is a sensitive topic. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We'll pray the Our Father, and we'll ask God to protect us and to guide us. Oremos. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caelis, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. And Father in heaven, we pray for all victims of abuse and all victims of abuse under their pastors, under their shepherds. We ask for healing for all of them and that you would bring this evil to an end and you would help us to understand how it all happened and how we can make it never happen again and help heal those who were so hurt and damaged. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Okay, so here's what you need to know. The church in America has three outposts. D.C. and New York, and historically Boston a little bit, but that's faded. New York's important, but the really important one is D.C. Washington, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles. All right, those are the archdioceses that run the show in America. You've got the East Coast, you've got the Central U.S. via Chicago, and then you've got L.A. And what we saw happen in the recent history of the Catholic Church is we had men like McCarrick leading things in Washington, D.C. We had Cardinal Bernardine, who was a sexual pervert, in Chicago, and then out in L.A., we had Mahoney. And these three men, in these three pivotal places were able to run the show. They were able to assemble who would be the next bishop of the lower diocese in those regions. It's true, the Archbishop of Chicago doesn't have jurisdiction in Texas or in Houston, but he does have a lot of influence. And I'm going to show you a chart that some researchers have put together that is, they call it the ego network of Cardinal McCarrick. Actually, I'll show it to you right now. We'll get back to it in the end. Here's a little preview of what we're going to talk about. But this is the ego network of McCarrick. Okay, McCarrick's in the middle, and these are different bishops and their different influences. And this really helps us understand what exactly is going on in America and who's working for who and who's helping each other. And once you begin to understand that, you begin to realize, oh, wow, there's been an infiltration in the Catholic Church, and McCarrick was the kingmaker. He was the one that was making all this happen. Even James Grind talks about going to Chicago. He said that he was not only molested by McCarrick, but also by Bernardine, Cardinal Bernardine. So this is a trafficking, corrupt. These men are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I think if you attend the traditional Latin Mass, like I do, I was at Mass today, the gospel for today was the wolves in sheep's clothing. In fact, my friend Matt Gasper texted me today and he said, hey, did you see the gospel for today, wolves in sheep's clothing? I said, yeah. And he goes, we should call this Infiltration Sunday. Let me read it to you. Sacred Scripture, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So here, the second person of the Trinity, the divine Logos, says that there will be false prophets, there will be wolves in sheep's clothing in his church. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. If you look at the Catholic Church, say, oh, there's corruption in the Catholic Church, there's bad pastors, there's wolves. That doesn't mean it's not true. Jesus said that there'll be wolves amongst the sheep. That's just going to happen. Then we know a tree by what kind of fruit it produces. And he talks about how those that bear bad fruit will be thrown into the fire. So much for, dare we hope that all men be saved, refuted here. Then he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, dare we hope that all men be saved? No, he even says not everyone's going to make it into heaven. The scary part for me, for all of us who profess to be disciples of Jesus Christ, is that he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. You may say Jesus Christ is Lord, Son of God, Messiah. You may recite the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed every Sunday. But that doesn't mean that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. We only enter the kingdom of heaven if we do the will of the Father. Now, some people are wanting a link to the chart. I'll give you a link in just a minute, and then I'll share it with Will, and he'll share it out with everyone else. So what we see in today's gospel is appropriate. In fact, it's right on with McCarrick. Even saying the name McCarrick makes me sick. The whole reason I wrote Infiltration in 2019 is because I was sick to my stomach all from Summer of Shame 2018. I did the first interview of James Grind, who was molested by McCarrick, on this YouTube channel. You can search it. It's really hard to watch. I was completely caught off guard. People say, like, when you watch that video, you can just see my eyes are just wide open. I don't know what to say. because I wasn't expecting him to share everything that he shared. And so I was plagued with the ghost of McCarrick. And I had to do my own report. I had to do research and figure out, how did this happen? I'm a convert to the Catholic Church. I didn't know about these things. And so I wrote this book, Infiltration, to figure out how did it happen. And it wasn't just Pope Francis, and it wasn't just Pope Benedict or John Paul II. It wasn't just Vatican II. It was a 200-year plot to undermine the Catholic faith. 200-year plot. And it was drafted and written in the early 1800s. And I have the whole document translated in the book. So this for me is personal. I don't want my kids to grow up in a church where Theodore McCarrick is a cardinal. I don't want molesters running the diocese. I don't think any of y'all watching want that either. And so I want to know, how did this happen? And then I want to make darn sure, by the grace of Jesus Christ, that this never happens to anyone again. No more James Grine. No more abuse. We want light and truth. The whole point of the church is to make saints, to get us to heaven, to love Jesus, to love one another, to help those who are downcast, to assist the poor, to assist the orphan, to assist the widow, to bring relief and joy to people who are hurting. So if the church is hurting people, that doesn't make sense. We got to fix that. So I'm going to run down for you who McCarrick was. McCarrick is the, you see him on the screen, bottom right. I didn't even want to put him on the screen, but there he is. I did a lot of research and talked to people who were connected to McCarrick. He didn't know I was doing this when I was writing the book. To get the dates, and I put together the first timeline. I think it's the main timeline that's out there, because I learned from James Grine that McCarrick was in St. Gallen, Switzerland. And there's a St. Gallen mafia that we learned from Cardinal Daniels, who undermined the pontificate of John Paul II and who was trying to undermine the election of Ratzinger, who became Pope Ben XVI. They self-confessed that they were part of this club, this group, or what they even called a mafia, to sway the policies of the church in favor of things like women's ordination, pro-contraception, softness on the issue of abortion, you know, the smorgasbord, the buffet of liberal Catholicism. Theodore McCarrick was born July 7th, 1930. And when he was 3 years old, his father died. And he went to Catholic elementary school. Now, this is interesting. We know that young men who don't have father figures or strong male figures, it could be an uncle or a grandfather, they have problems. It's a difficulty. And so we see this right away in McCarrick's life. He likely has no memory of his father. If his father died when he was three, he probably has maybe some faint things, but he didn't have a relationship with his father. Now, 1946, McCarrick was expelled from Xavier High School, kicked out. In September 1947, he begins at Fordham Prep. In 1949, he graduates from Fordham Prep with honors. This is an interesting episode of McCarrick's life. He's kicked out of school. We don't know why. And then he gets into another school, which I understand to be more prestigious, and then graduates with honors. From 1949 to August 1950, McCarrick is in St. Gallen, Switzerland, ages 19 through 20. So he connects with the Grine family. He goes to Switzerland, and he says, McCarrick actually has said this on the record. I found the quote. In July of 1950, at a Carthusian monastery in Switzerland, McCarrick received his calling to become a priest. So it was during his time in Switzerland, in connection with St. Gallen, that he said, I'm going to be a priest. Now, also in Infiltration, I show how Aleister Crowley's Gnostic Catholic Church was set up with its headquarters just outside St. Gallen. So there is a connection with Saint-Gall, Switzerland, Aleister Crowley, the Gnostic Catholic Church. They have a Gnostic Mass. Aleister Crowley taught a form of liturgy called sex magic. It's absolutely disgusting. I'm not even going to talk about it on this show. There are a few details more about it in the book Infiltration, but I believe it can't be proved because we don't have the videotape or anything, but I believe that some connection was made here with McCarrick and some of those dark forces that were going on in St. Gallen, Switzerland. 8 years later, Cardinal Spellman in 1958 ordained McCarrick to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of New York. And then McCarrick was sent to earn a second master's degree in social sciences. And then he earned his PhD at the Catholic University of America in sociology. So his master's and his PhD were in sociology or social studies. From 1963 to 1965, this is the time period of the Second Vatican Council, McCarrick was the assistant chaplain and dean of students and director of development at the Catholic University of America there in Washington, D.C. Also in 65, he became a Monsignor. That's pretty quick. He's a Monsignor. And the president of the Catholic University of Puerto Rico. And some people have pointed to this, that this is an international element, that perhaps there might have been trafficking from the island, you know, in the Caribbean, in these places, because of McCarrick's connection there. From 1969 to 1971, Cardinal Cook brought McCarrick to New York, where he served as the Associate Secretary for Education and as the Assistant Priest at Blessed Sacrament. From 1971 to 77, McCarrick served as the secretary for Cardinal Cook. And it's during this time, this is so key, he's working for Cardinal Cook as a secretary. In 1971, this was in the New York Times, McCarrick assaulted and molested a 16-year-old altar boy while measuring his inseam to fit a cassock for him. This was the claim that was found credible by Cardinal Dolan, the Cardinal of New York City, and this whole story was published in the New York Times June 20th, 2018. Now, the Vatican said, well, since he was 16, in canon law, that's a majority, and so they didn't want to move forward, and that's when James Grine came out and said, no, he molested me too, but I was younger than 16. When it happened to me. And because of that, Francis and the Vatican move forward. They laicized McCarrick and they said, you're no longer a cardinal. That's how the mechanism happened. But this attack on a 16-year-old happened in 1971. In 1977, Pope Paul VI appointed McCarrick as the auxiliary bishop of New York City, Archdiocese of New York. And he was the vicar of East Manhattan and Harlem. In 1981, John Paul II appointed McCarrick as the first bishop of the newly created diocese, Metuchen, in New Jersey. In 1986, he made him Archbishop of Newark, New Jersey. John Paul II did. Mistake by John Paul II. 1997, I'm not saying John Paul II did anything bad. I'm just saying it's a bummer that that happened. I'm not saying that John Paul II knew he's a bad guy. 1997, McCarrick got associated with the Papal Foundation and served as its president. The Papal Foundation was a group of wealthy Catholics who would donate about $1 million, and they'd be part of this foundation, and they would be able to meet the Pope. They had an annual meeting with the Pope. And McCarrick, who was always around money and good at collecting envelopes full of cash and giving envelopes full of cash, got himself wrapped up into that institution. And then from 2000 to 2014, McCarrick was a board member of Catholic Relief Services, another charity arm with a lot of money. Now, in 2000, Father Boniface Ramsey, he's a Dominican priest, he wrote a letter to the nuncio, Gabriel Montalvo, about a rumor, a recurring rumor at the seminary that McCarrick shared his bed with seminarians and invited five at a time to spend the weekend with him at the beach house, and that he knew a certain number of seminarians, some of whom were later ordained as priests of the Archdiocese of Newark, who had been invited to the beach house and had shared a bed with the archbishop. This was 2000. Boniface Ramsay, I love that guy. So he blew the whistle in 2000 on McCarrick. No one did anything. 2001, a year later, after this allegation, he was made Archbishop of Washington, D.C. by John Paul II. And in February of that year, he was made a cardinal by John Paul II. In 2002, get this, McCarrick announces the new Vatican policy on sexual abuse by priests. Who was the guy who set up the policies for it and announced it? McCarrick, the guy himself who was a molester and a predator. This is how messed up things are in the Catholic Church in 2002, that McCarrick is the guy on the microphone setting the policies. What was the policy? Basically, here's the policy. You already know the policy. If a priest gets accused and does something bad, you put him on administrative leave. That's it, you know. Maybe he gets transferred, goes for a psychological examination. Maybe he gets cleared. But you definitely, and also they would throw money at the victims. Don't say anything. It's for the good of the church. Learn to forgive. This doesn't need to be public. 2005, McCarrick voted in the conclave that elected Ben XVI. And in 2006, he retired as Archbishop of Washington, D.C. It's in this time period, I actually met McCarrick. I met McCarrick in 2006 before he had resigned, or maybe it was right around then. But I went. Someone took me to his office. I just moved to D.C. I was actually working in the Archdiocese of the Washington, D.C., and I met McCarrick, and he was very kind. He was very intent. He like leaned in. He was listening. He had very strong people skills, social skills. Like my impression after that meeting was, wow, he really cares. He really listened to me. You know, he was interested. So that was my impression on meeting McCarrick. Of course, I didn't know any of this at the time, but I did snare the snake in the eyes. And then in 2005 and 2007, there were two settlements that were made, one in Metuchen and one in Newark, paid to two men, Mr. Robert Chielek, and an unnamed former priest for allegations of sexual abuse by McCarrick while they were in seminary. And then in 2006, Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, way back in the day, 2006, he reported to Nuncio Pietro Sambi and transmitted an indictment memorandum against McCarrick. And in 2018, the Archdiocese of New York said, we have a credible allegation of abuse. That's the timeline. How come he was molesting people as early as 1971? Someone, Father Boniface, blew the whistle on him in 2000. But he went on to be Archbishop of D.C. He went on to be a cardinal, people. How does this happen? Well, we've been waiting for the report from the Pope, from the bishops. We don't have it. But I was very happy to see this lay report that was issued. It's a study. I'm going to share it on the screen so you can see it. And then this is on LifeSite News. Here we go. Okay, good. Let's see if I can make this a little bit better for you guys. Okay. So the name of this report is, let me get on it. Experts map out U.S. bishops' social networks that help cover up ex-Cardinal McCarrick's sex abuse. That's the name of it. This is LifeSite News. All right, so everybody please go, and you just go to LifeSite today. It's one of the headlines. All right, and this article maps out what was going on. Let me move me around here. This article maps out what was going on. And so let me just share with you the opening paragraph. It says, sociologists have published, isn't it interesting that McCarrick had his PhD in sociology, and now we have sociologists doing a study on the guy with the PhD in sociology. Sociologists have published a paper illustrating a social net So illustrating social networks between bishops in two national episcopal conferences and around the former cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who was laicized over credible allegations of sexually abusing seminarians and priests. And this is where I got the map that I was talking about earlier. So this says the paper presents preliminary findings using original network data for the Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales and for the United States. Now, here's what's something really interesting. I'm going to scroll down here because the first part's more about England and Wales. But it says here, okay, for example, the hierarchical culture also gives rise to problems. For example, these might include the potentials for ambitious clergy or seminarians to actively seek the favor and patronage of their own and or other influential bishops, or indeed for bishops to use the hope or even the promise of preferment as a means of incentivizing or rewarding loyalty, the authors wrote. It could result in certain types of priests being favored or formed in line with the type of their own bishop, and perhaps a wider episcopal mold or culture. This is intensified by the fact that priests learn to be bishops through a process of imitation and socialization, and this can lead to identifiable cliques of bishops bound together by ties of loyalty. Similar behavior, shared protégés, and a sense that if one member goes down, they all go down. Okay, so this is illustrating these spider webs, these networks. Because remember, McCarrick can't do all of this on his own. He needs dozens of people supporting him and covering for him. Another issue is the special nature of the relationship between a seminarian or priest and his bishop. Very different from that of an employee or an employer. A seminarian or priest owes his bishops both reverence and obedience, the authors note. Then there is the issue of homosexuality. This, the authors argue, has an important relevance for understanding the McCarrick case. Yes, it does. This is why, my friends, that the United States bishops are not coming forward with a report. The report won't just be about McCarrick. The report is going to name the names of other bishops, other cardinals, other important people, important laymen, too. People who work in the chanceries of these places who have covered up facts. So this study on LifeSite News, the article was written by, it's very, very well done. It's by Dorothy Cummins McLean. Great job, Dorothy Cummins McLean. She did a great job summarizing what's going on in these reports. I'm going to show you the graph in just a moment, but there's another part I want to share here about the problem of homosexuality, because you not only have ambition, you not only have promises and favorites being formed amongst the priests by the bishops so that they can go on to be a bishops, but then you also mix into it sexual attraction and sexual affinities. It's very odd that Theodore McCarrick told his victim boys and seminarians to call him Uncle Ted. They called him Uncle Ted. So there's just kind of this understanding of spiritual incest that's worked into these gross networks. So it goes on to say, not least, there is clear potential for mutual compromise networks of homosexually active priests, such as McCarrick. It appears to be cultivated among his, quote, nephews. Again, so this is the weird thing about McCarrick, is he's the uncle, and then his victims are the nephews. And then these nephews get preferential treatment to get raised up. Oh, you get to be a Monsignor. Oh, now you get to be an auxiliary bishop over here. Now, or maybe you get to be a rector of a seminary. And then auxiliary bishop, and then you get to bishop, and then the archbishop, and then a cardinal. The article also states, the existence of homosexual subcultures within U.S. Catholic seminaries or diocesan power structures, while understandably a sensitive topic, is well established in the academic literature, as to are the disproportionately high numbers of same-sex attracted seminarians and clergy in the first place. The authors, Dorothy says, the authors observe that given a number of factors in the relationship between homosexuality and the cult and the church, and the potential for subordinates' exploitation by bishops, the risk of another McCarrick-esque cases is real. That's what I don't like. I don't like that this is perpetuated so that my grandkids are part of some scheme like this. If I have a son or a grandson who wants to go to seminary, I don't want to worry about this weird McCarrick sexual clique program that's embedded in the seminary and diocesan program. Do you agree with me? If you have a son who wants to be a priest, are you going to feed him to the system? No. It's disgusting. It's not Christ-like. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on discipleship. People ask, is McCarrick still alive? Yes, he's still alive. That's why they haven't released the report. They're waiting for the man to die. He knows so much dirt on all the bishops. If they went after him and squeezed him, so much info would come out. Be bad, but it would be good. All right, I'm going to put the map on the screen. I know y'all want to see the map, and I'm going to do some analysis of the map. Again, this all comes, let me credit the original people on this because they did a fantastic job. Okay, so the article is on LifeSite News. It's by Dorothy Cummins McLean. And the report that they created is titled Power, Preferment, and Patronage, Catholic Bishops, Social Networks, and the Affairs of Ex-Cardinal McCarrick. It was authored by Professor Stephen Boulevant of St. Mary's University in London and Research Fellow Giovanni Radhizio Putra Sadewo of the Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne. I apologize if I mispronounced that, Giovanni. So these two men did a wonderful work in producing this research, and they're confirming what we already kind of knew, and that is there are these weird preferment structures somehow embedded and built in. I'm going to go ahead and say, oh, I know how they got built there. Infiltration. The permanent instruction of Alta Vendita in 1840s explicitly states that they're going to invade and put their own people to corrupt the seminaries. It's written in the 1840s that they're going to do this. Bella Dodd said that she put 1,000 guys into the seminary, corrupt communists who did not believe in Jesus and the gospel. They went in to subvert our religion, to subvert our church, to infiltrate it. People say, oh, Taylor Marshall, he's a conspiracy theorist. He made up all these conspiracy theories. No, I didn't. This is real. Here's another study coming out of London that confirms what infiltration says, and that is they went first into the convents, the monasteries, and the seminaries to corrupt the young crop. It says that in the permanent instruction of Alta Vendita. The full translation is in this book in the appendix. If you want to read what the Carbonari and what the secret societies of the 1800s wanted to do in the Catholic Church. The document was acquired by the popes and published by the popes so that people would know what happened. But somewhere on the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, we forgot about it. And it chiefly happened in the 40s and the 50s in America. And yes, I name names in the book with footnotes. Okay, now here is the map that they produced. This is the map that Boulevant, let me get their names again, Professor Boulevant, and then the research fellow Giovanni Radhizio Putra Sadewo produced. And I think what you're going to see here is some patterns that you might already be aware of. Let's see here if I can make this bigger. You don't need to see my face. Okay. Now, you'll see right in the middle of this chart is McCarrick. He's the center dot. All right. Now, if you go out to the left, you sort of see fingers going out. That's less interesting to me Because there's not a spider web. All right. Where do you see a spider web in a bunch of interconnected lines going back and forth, back and forth? I'm going to argue it's over here to the right of McCarrick. These are the power names and the power brokers that are most indebted to McCarrick and work with McCarrick the most. So if we go from McCarrick and we go up a little bit to the right, we see Farrell. This was Bishop Farrell was the auxiliary bishop in D.C. under McCarrick, and he was the roommate of McCarrick. That's right. They were roommates. And Farrell said, I never saw anything weird going on when I was in D.C. as his roommate. I never saw a thing. Now, remember, Farrell used to be Legionary of Christ and was the driver at one point for the Judas priest, Father Marcio Maciel, who also was a sexual predator, molested children, had women on the side, and embezzled money. He never saw Father Maciel Maciel do anything bad either. How does one man, Bishop Farrell, who, by the way, is now Cardinal Farrell, how does he, in his life story, get associated and work for Father Maciel Maciel and Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, the two worst crooks of the last 50 years in the Catholic Church? So he's there on the map. And then if you go out to the right of Farrell, you'll see Wuerl. He's got a bunch of connections directly and indirectly to McCarrick. He was the next Archbishop of D.C. Vigano says he lies shamelessly. Vigano did do some covering for McCarrick. He later on said, well, I didn't quite remember some of the details, whatever. And then if you go just to the right of McCarrick, straight out, you'll see Archbishop Laurie, who's also in on this. Those are the three names where you find all these interconnections. And then off front, and by the way, you can get this chart over at LifeSite News. Just go to the LifeSite News and look for this article written by Dorothy Cummins McLean, and then you can screen capture or download it like I did. You'll have this exact chart. It's very helpful, especially when you go on here and you maybe find your bishop is in this network, right? I mean, I'm looking around here and I'm seeing other bishops who I know to be compromised, and they're in this web here. Yep. Okay. All right. So maybe you see some of the same. So this is what the authors of the special report found. And this is, I think, what most of us who have been following these stories in details, we already knew that there's a network. You don't become the Cardinal Archbishop of D.C. By yourself. There's networks. And remember, who was the young McCarrick working for? Cardinal Spellman, Cardinal Cook. He was already in the halls of power. And there are stories about Cardinal Spellman and his preferences. I'll say that. But it seems that he came up pretty quickly. McCarrick came up quick in the system and became bishop, archbishop, cardinal. Very quick. And then we also learned that McCarrick, who was a friend of these St. Gallen Mafia guys, in a video, a Villanova video, he talks about when Benedict resigned that a certain Italian distinguished gentleman spoke to him about getting Bergoglio elected. Almost sounds like a campaign. McCarrick actually confessed that that happened before all this came out about McCarrick. So we realize that McCarrick also was perhaps doing something uncanonical with regard to the election of Bergoglio, who goes on to be elected as Pope Francis. We also learn from Vigano, and I know from having spoken and been around McCarrick, I heard a talk he gave in D.C., that he travels to China and had connections with the church in China. And he believed that the underground church should be united with the patriotic communist Catholic Church, which is a fake church, and that the underground church should be suppressed. He worked for that. He did the groundwork for that deal, and then Pope Francis made that deal happen. And now we're hearing about billions of dollars that might be flowing from China to the Vatican. I haven't reported on that yet because I don't have it confirmed. But it's what I've suspected. You've heard me say it before. Maybe about 9 months ago, I said the Vatican is getting money right now from one or all of the above. China, because of the deal they did. The Arabs, because of the Abu Dhabi document. And the EU, because of the environmental work that Pope Francis has been working. All three of those have three major agendas, and Pope Francis is Johnny on the spot for all three. And money flows from those three powerful, rich political entities. So now that we've seen this chart and we've seen a report and it's confirmed what we've said already, we Catholics have to get rowdy. We have to get loud, not violent. We got to get rowdy, and we need to say, we want the McCarrick report now. Give us the McCarrick report. When you see your bishop, you say, how's the McCarrick report coming along? We need people outside the USCCB meeting saying, give us the McCarrick report, holding signs. There needs to be newspaper articles and blogs and YouTube videos like this calling on Pope Francis to release the McCarrick report. We don't want to wait till he's dead and then you can rewrite it. We want you to release it while he's alive so he can respond to it and say, yeah, that's how it is, or no, it's not, or you missed a point, or don't forget about so-and-so. We want the McCarrick report. And if they won't do it, that's the title of today's show. Trump should investigate McCarrick. It's a interstate crime network based out of, if President Trump or anyone that knows Trump or can tell him anything, tell President Trump this. It's a crime network based out of Washington, D.C., Chicago, and L.A. by prominent cardinals who all work together and all know the score. And it relates to sexual activity, sexual molestation, predatory behavior, and then covering up not only for each other, like McCarrick, but also for the priests and the people below. We know that there was a payout in New Jersey, Metuchen, and in Newark. Those bishops, not McCarrick, the bishops after McCarrick made the payouts, which means they knew that McCarrick was a predator, a sexual predator. Did they do anything? No. Not that we know of. Maybe if the report comes out and they did do something, they'll be hailed as heroes. But it seems that they said nothing. They didn't tell the cops. They didn't tell the authorities. They didn't tell a newspaper. They didn't tell Rome. And McCarrick continued to rule in Washington, D.C. and take photos with the Bushes and with the Clintons and, you know, the Pelosis, the Cuomos, the Bidens, that crowd. He got to run in that crowd and be an influencer while he was misrepresenting who he was. He was not a shepherd of souls. He was what we read in the gospel for today in the traditional Latin Mass, a ravenous wolf. He was lustful for other men and for boys. And he used money and he used power to cover that up. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't want that ever to happen again. So this map that they produced helps. And, you know, it's like when they were pulling down the Junipero Serra statues and we were saying, bishops, do something. We want you to say, you know, speak up. This is an outrage. We've got churches burning. Pope, say something. This is an outrage. Where are our shepherds? Condemn. They're attacking us. They're burning our churches. They're ripping down our statues. And then Bishop Barron says, not my job. There was a collective gasp amongst the American Catholic lady. Even Bishop Barron says it's not his job. We're left behind. We're stuck. We've been waiting here eagerly like fools on the McCarrick report. Any day now, we'll get that McCarrick report. I heard a lot in this past February, the McCarrick report's coming in February. McCarrick report, I was getting pumped. Finally, we're going to get some info from the Vatican. Didn't happen. Didn't get it. Didn't get it. So I'm saying to President Trump, to President Trump's people, listen, you want the Catholic vote, and you will get the Catholic vote because you're pro-life. Biden is not pro-life. Biden supports abortion all the way from conception to birth. That's atrocious. True Catholic people can't be behind that. But, Mr. President, if you really want to capture the hearts of the Catholic lay people, you need to say, I'm a champion with you. I don't want to see McCarricks and creepy bishops exploiting you. Seminarians should not be afraid of being molested by their bishop or by other priests, other by professors or by seminarians. Altar boys, when they're putting on a cassock in New York City, and the father's like, what size do you wear? And he goes to measure your inseam and he fondles you, which is what happened. That's a New York Times story. Cardinal Dolan said it was credible. That should never happen. And that man would then go on and become Monsignor, Bishop, Archbishop, Cardinal. What? Cardinal of D.C. That's the best slot there is. So this has to stop. So I think we continue to beat the drum and say, Bishop, we want that report. USCCB, we want the report. We should make a big deal about it moving into the next USCCB meeting. We should be demanding that a report be made and released. And we should be demanding from the Pope Francis that he release the report. And if they won't do it, we have to say, well, we're going to Trump. We shouldn't have to do that. Trump's not even a Catholic. We want the facts. We want an investigation, and we want this thing cleaned up. All right. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray the Ave Maria and the Gloria Patri, and we're going to pray that we do get the facts and that we do get the truth. Let us pray. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In Jesus, the great shepherd, drive out the wolves and protect us. In your name. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right, friends, thanks so much for watching. Please subscribe if you're new. Make sure you hit the notification bell. I am live right now. If you want to be part of future live shows in the chat and feel the live energy, subscribe and hit the bell, and then you'll get notified every time I push out live. What else? Oh, yeah, please like it. Thumbs up if you don't mind. I appreciate that. That tells YouTube it's a good video. It's the little thumbs up button underneath the video. And while you're there, the most important thing you can do is to share the video. So hit the share button and share it on Facebook or Twitter. Facebook, I think, is the most important. That's where the most traffic comes from. So please share it on Facebook. I do appreciate that. And then thanks for everybody who supports the show on Patreon. A special thank you, thank you, thank you to all the patrons of the show. Really do. I pray for y'all every night. In fact, I pray for all of you in the Rosary. We pray for everyone who watches this channel. And in particular, we pray for the patrons. So thank you so much. If you want signed books and cool merch, go check it out. Patreon.com/DR Taylor Marshall. And of course, pray the Rosary every single day. If you don't pray the Rosary, you're not on the team. Pray 5 decades every day. What I try to, there's some champions out there. I've talked to you and you're like, Marshall, I'm up to 15 decades a day and I'm embarrassed because I'm not there. I do 5 a day. Sometimes I'll do 10 or 15. My rule of thumb is I do 5 every day with the family. Sometimes I'll add more to that. But then on Sundays, I try to do all 15. So that's my goal. And we do that so that we're connected to Jesus. We know Our Lady is the mother of Jesus, and she helps guide us to Jesus, says do whatever he says to do. And we know it's the weapon against all heresies. So pray the Rosary every day or you're not on the team. And like I said, we got to read the Bible every day too. So that's the homework. That's how we take it to the next level. That's how we fight all this darkness. You need to know the Word of God. You need to know what Jesus teaches. You need to know the Old Testament, the New Testament, Genesis, Revelation, table of contents, maps. Know it. Because we're entering into a battle, and, you know, memorizing three catechism questions ain't going to get you through it. You need a lot more artillery. You need a lot more food and nourishment. So read the Bible every day. I'm reading First Maccabees right now, every day, and I'm loving it. Going to finish that bad boy up. And I'm telling you what, it gets me inspired to come on here and make some videos, because Judah Maccabee and his brothers, they believed. They had faith and works. So read the Bible every day. All right. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless you. Godspeed. Have a blessed Sunday. Pray that rosary. We'll see you this week.